Both of the sugyas are going to revolve around one word, the one word being mayim. We spend so much time talking about mayim she'uvim and zriyas and ashokas, we forgot the basic word. The basic word is water. The next two topics are going to revolve around just what exactly is the definition of mayim per se. Number one, in terms of mayim in contrast to other liquids. And number two, mayim in contrast to ice and snow. Both of these topics are revolve around the same issue, and hopefully this should take us pretty close to the end of this man, I guess we can call it. It goes without saying that a mikveh has to be made up of mayim. The Torah's Kohanim and the Gemara also has this drasha, since the pasuk says mayim abor mikveh mayim yeh tohar, that mayim comes to exclude all other liquids. Let's say, for example, you want to make a nice expensive mikveh out of wine, so the Gemara says that's no good. That's called yayin, that's not called mayim. That's the basic din, that a mikveh has to be made out of only water. There's a humorous story based on this halacha. It goes back about at least 10 years ago when the Kol was learning mikvahs. So I wasn't in the Kol yet, so I wasn't learning mikvahs, but a good friend of mine, some of you may know, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Simon is a Rabbi in Yeshiva now. So he was learning mikvahs. So at the time, somebody mentioned to him that maybe he should go speak with some of the people in Satmar, as we've mentioned a few times, that they're the world's experts on mikvahs. So he decided, okay, we'll take a trip down to Williamsburg and we'll go speak to some of the members of the Satmar Kolam and Dayanim, talk a little bit about Hilchos mikvahs. Here he went as a clean shaven, you know, so looked a little bit different, to say the least. He came to someone made an arrangement for him to speak with some of the Satmar Dayanim. He wanted to talk to them about learning mikvahs. They saw this little kid who's 20 years old without a beard, without tegas. They talked to us in mikvahs, so they wanted to be very nice to him. So they said to him, right, we'll talk a little bit about mikvahs. A mikvah has to have water in it. That was what they told him. So he felt a little bit, he went all the way to Williamsburg. So he said, he learned that already. So they said, all right, it has to be 40 saw. Do you know what that means? 40 saw. He had been spending the whole year learning mikvahs. So finally, after all said and done, they were able to literally break the ice. And they sat and talked for hours and hours. They became very friendly with one of the Satmar Dayanim after that. But they talked mamish and learning. He said it was mamish eye-opener to see. So he had a friend of his who tagged along. He wanted to go see this particular person. Taka became a lawyer later, and he had a flair for writing. So he was so impressed by this discussion, this shtickel terror for hours between Rabbi Simon on the one hand and the Satmar Dayanim on the other hand, that he wrote an article about it. He wrote in the newspaper. He wrote an article called, the whole theme of the article was about how Torah could unite even people who look like they're coming, the external looks a little different. So he called the article Bridge Over Troubled Water. That was the name of the article. So that's the basic din. Mikveh has to be water. Sure, that's the agreed upon by everybody. Comes the Mishnah in the second Mikvahs and tells us that there's a din called Shinui Mara Paisalas HaMikvah. Namely, you have something that's water, but it doesn't really look like water anymore, because it has a different color to it. Let's say you threw a little bit of wine into the water. It's 40 saw of water. It's akasha mikvah. But now it looks like wine a little bit. It looks like another liquid because it has a different color. So the Mishnah tells us, shinu imara poisalas mikvah. Comes the Ravid and says, what's this based on? Where did this din come from? It's interesting. The Gemara never explains where it's the source of the din. Says the Ravid, it's only midirabbanan. Min haTorah doesn't pass the mikvah. It's a gezeira mishum shai mashkim. You're going to be matir a mikvah that's water but has a, looks like wine a little bit. Next thing you know, you're going to be makshir a mikvah which is kulo yayin. So says the Ravid, this whole psul of shinimar is only a psul of the rabbana. It's going to be important as we go to some of the details of this halacha. The Ravid learns pshat, it's a gezeira mishum shai mashkim. Many people know this din of shinimara when the beginning of Masechas Makas. It made it into gimel and makas. It snuck in their derech agav. So even though it's never learned mikvah, it's got it to chapt in the beginning of Masechas Makas. This din of Shini Mara, Paisalas HaMikvah, the Rishonim point out, is fundamentally different from the din of Mayim Sh'uvim Paisalas HaMikvah. The Kralim are totally different. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Just as an illustration of this idea, the Psul of Sh'uvim and Psul of Shini Mara are different. So the Rishonim point out, based on Mishnayis, Persian Mishnayis and Masechas Mikvahs, that in contrast to Sh'uvim, which cannot ruin a mikvah once the mikvah is kosher, we've already been learning this for months, once you have 40 saw, there's very little you could do to ruin the mikvah. Maybe nopal saw v'nasan saw, maybe you couldn't derive it. But short of that, adding all the shuvim in the world won't pass the mikvah. That we know for a fact. So comes the Mishnah Mikvahs and says, Shinimara could pass the mikvah even if it already has 40 saw. If it's 40 saw, it's 1,000 saw, and you put enough wine in that changes the color,
Doesn't matter.
That's the din. Shini ma'ar kachtik v'chachamim, that it parcels the mikvah, even though you're already at a kosher mikvah there. So that's quite a chumrah. But for every chumrah, there's a kula. In the sense of that mayim she'uvim is very chamor, in the sense once you have a mikvah that's possible with mayim she'uvim, it's very, very hard to get rid of the problem. We know the din is that gimel lugin mayim she'uvim person samikvah. We have our, as we said last time, about half an es or so, 36 ounces or so of gimel lugin. So let's say you don't have 40 so yet, you have 10 so of water, and now you pour in gimel lugin mayim she'uvim, so you got serious problems. You can't just take out some of the water and say the mikvah is kosher. You got to get rid of all the water and dry it out and start over again. Once mayim she'uvim gets into a mikvah, so you are literally up the creek. You have a lot of problems in order to be remashed in this mikvah. You basically have to start off from scratch. So comes the Mishnah and says that it's not true when it comes to the psul of Shini Mara. Shini Mara is literally easy come, easy go. It's easier to become puzzle based on Shini Mara, but it's much easier to become kosher again. Let's say, for example, you have a mikvah that became nifsa with Shini Mara. No problem. Just add more water. Hey, the more water you add, eventually the color will become diluted. You'll be back to the regular color of water, and you'll be home free.
You throw some chlorine in.
That's exactly what we're getting to. That's what we're getting to. Most of them mikvahs don't have wine in them, but many of them do have chlorine. That's what we're going to get to.
No, but assuming there's wine or there's some discoloration, and you throw some chlorine in, or some kind of an acid.
Yeah, it'll become kosher. Yeah. So in the old days, they didn't have the neutralizer. They had more water. More water is the neutralizer. So the Rishonim point out, the Mishnah in effect says this, the Rishonim quote this Mishnah, that this kula, you could be remachshir a mikvah that was nifsal, l'mayim shuvim, very simply by just adding more water, this could be phenomenally easily. Let's say the mikvah was 40 saw to start with, and some wine fell in, and now it looks like it has a reddish tint to it. So you know you could be remachshir this mikvah, just take a couple of buckets of water and keep on filling it up, because let's not forget, from the vantage point of mayim shuvim, once you have 40 soft kosher water, so all the mayim shuvim isn't going to ruin it for you. In a chinami, the Mishnah says that if you don't have 40 soft, let's say you have 30 soft of kosher water, and then some wine falls in, so you want to makshir it, so then you got trouble. You have to wait for the rain. You have to wait for the Ribbono Shel Olam to add more water in, because you can't add mayim shuvim until you get to the point of 40 soft. That's just the technicality. But al kol panim, the Mishnah says explicitly that this psul of Shini Mara, even though it has the ability to parcel a mikvah post 40 saw, it has a very simple solution to it by just merely neutralizing just any more water, in effect diluting the appearance of Shini Mara. So Shini Mara works both the kula and the chumra, the dinim are different than mayim shuvim. Also, the Ravid points out that based on the Mishnah doesn't spell this out explicitly, but as a deus from the Mishnah mikvahs, that not only is it so fundamentally different in terms of the psul of Shini Mara, the psul of mayim shuvim, in terms of when it parcels, but even the amount is fundamentally different. Namely, there is no objective shear of gimel lugin. When it comes to mayim shuvim, we know what the shear is. The shear is gimel lugin. That's it. Bein l'kul, bein l'chumra, so to speak. That's a takanas chachamim of gimel lugin. But when it comes to Shini Mara, so whatever does the trick. If you have a tremendous mikvah, you have a 10,000 saw of water, and you throw in 100 lugin of wine, and it doesn't do even a mashu, doesn't affect the color of the water, so the mikvah is kosher. In contrast, if you have, let's say you have 40 saw of a tzimtzum, and you throw in something which is very very strong, and it changes it even with less than gibel lugin, so that'll also possible to make a fuss. So the Rishonim point out that the dinim are totally different, that they're different in terms of when it possibles, how to be remachshirit, what the shear is, mamash, the two dinim have nothing to do with each other. The reason is very partial, they're two totally different, they come from different areas of chas mikvahs. One is Apsul Mayim Sh'ubidi, the Apsul Dereis, Apsul Derabonon. One is a Gzeira, Takana Sacham, there's a Gzeira, Mishum Shamashkin. Each one of these sets of halachas works with its own rules. There are several situations where the Psul of Shini Mara appears not to apply. This is going to become very relevant for us, halacha l'maisa. There are about three, four Mishnayas in Mikvos that discuss Shini Mara. In the middle of this, the series of Mishnayas, so the Mishnah writes as follows, Hidiach Sale Zeisim V'Sale Anovim. Let's say a person has baskets, and the baskets have been used to, they've been holding grapes, they've been holding olives, and the baskets already have a purplish tint to them, they have a greenish tint to them from the olives, and then you go ahead and decide to wash off do the dishes in the mikvah. So you wash off the filthy, the olive-tainted baskets. So the Mishnah says, even though the water of the mikvah is going to change colors, it's going to start to get a purple tint from the purple, whatever was left on the basket, says the Mishnah, ain't no place. The mikvah is still considered to be kosher. Question is, why? Mayhai, what's the difference between Hidiach Bosalei Zeisavi Anovim that the Mishnah says is kosher, in contrast to Ulek Pur, wine into the mikvah, where the Mishnah says that it's possible? So comes the Ravid, the Bali HaNefesh in his classic Sefer Anuchas Mikvahs, and comes the Ravid and says, doesn't use that phrase. Comes the Ravid and says, I'll tell you why. The Mishnah is telling us he is sowed, that it's not pshat that Shini Mara possible the mikvah. The pshat is that Shini Mara that comes from a mashke possible the mikvah. If you have a liquid which gives a different color, a tinge to the mikvah, that's what causes the problem. If the source of the coloring comes from a solid, so that doesn't pass on the mikvah, and to arrive it perfectly, the shita, and it was going to everything is ultimately elikul. Yeah. So comes the Rashba, and seems to say a little bit of a different take on this Mishnah. Comes the Rashba and does not use the phrase mashke in contrast to solid. Comes the Rashba and uses the phrase that you use, namely, "ein bo mamish." That's a phrase that appears. It's going to appear in this week's parsha. Parshas Behar, there's a whole sugya in the end of Bava Kama about whether chazusa's milsa, chazusa lav milsa, namely a dye, a color, is that considered to be a dovashim amashas? Is that considered to be something significant? Is that considered to be like tangible? Or is that considered to be like bottle to the thing that it's dying? So the Nafkamina, the Gemara discusses, because we have a shmita, the case of being mazik, the person who pains somebody. So the Gemara there quotes a din about Perish Shvias. Gemara says if you take nuts which have Kedusha Shvias to it, and some nuts have let's say have a dye or something that you can color, you can paint wool, you can paint clothing with a dye that comes from the nuts of Perish Shvias. So now the Gemara raises the Shaila, now you have a suit that has Kedusha Shvias to it. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, what do you do with it? You used to think that they check suits for Shatnas, now they check suits for Kedusha Shvias. That's the discussion the Gemara has. Something if you take the klipin of a nut that has Kedusha Shvias, you say chazusa yesh b'milsen. So the Rashba borrows this phrase that appears in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, and the Rashba says chazusa is lav milsen. So ein bal mamish. This is a din by Hilchos Tevila, not Hilchos Mikvos, but the Hilchos Chatzitza part. This is a big shail about the famous shail who has the pen marks on her hand, or the men who have the pen mark on them when they wash it. Those who die for that matter. What's the din? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about women toveling with makeup on. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that this is off the record. Shulchan Aruch writes that if a woman has paint on her face, not so pashut that it's a chatzitza. Not so pashut at all, because it could be chazusa lav milsa. It could be that ain't bo mamish to it, and maybe it's ain't a machbid on it. A lot of different svaros. The mice in the minigis rollers. We take the makel off before we go to the mikvah, but it's not so pashut. So this all revolves around this notion of chazusa lav milsa. So the Rashba quotes this notion when he discusses the Mishnah and Mikvahs. Says that's the reason why the salizesim are not a problem. But it's not pshat because the source is from a solid. The Rashba doesn't mention that. So comes the perush on the bottom of Mikvos called the Mishnah Achrona. He wrote two perushim. He wrote one perush on Seder Zeroyim and one on Seder Taras. So it doesn't take so much to figure out what he named the perush on Seder Zeroyim. He named Mishnah Rishona, and the perush on Sefer Taras he named the Mishnah Achrona. So in the bottom in Sefer in Mishnah Achrona, he claims maybe there'll be a fundamental machlekes lahalacha between the Ravid and the Rashba. What's pshat of this heter of salei zeisim? That if you hold like the Ravid, so it's a rule across the board that if the thing that's going into the mikvah is in a solid form, that's it. Nothing to worry about. That was never included in the gezerah. Whereas according to the Rashba, it's not true. According to the Rashba, it's only that unique situation where it's salei zeisim, where it's ein bo mamish, where it's chazusa lav milsa. But what if you would take something which has mamish, which you can point to, which is tangible, so even if it's a salad, maybe that would be a problem, according to the Rashba. So the Mishnah Charona didn't live in that generation, so he didn't see ahead to the issue of chlorine. So he says, what if you take grapes themselves and throw them into the mikvah? Not if you take wine and pour it out of the bottle, not if you take olive oil, not if you take the salizesim, but you take grapes, or you take olives and throw them into the mikvah, and after a little bit of time, the mikvah starts to turn purple, the mikvah starts to turn green. What's the din? So the Mishnah Charona claimed that he thinks according to the Ravid it's okay, because obviously it was liquid that came out, but you threw it in the Torah Seichel, the Torah Salad, so that was never included in the Gezerah, never included in the Tekanah Socham, the Shini Mara, place less than Mikvah Mashah. Enkein, according to the Rashba, anytime you can touch, and you can touch the thing that's causing your tzaras, so that's included. That was never included in the Heter of salization. That's his suggestion. But then the end he backs out from it. The end he writes, the stomach of the Rashi meant the same as the Raivid. The stomach ain't mamamish, just meant that it's not a mashke. That's what he thinks. The stomach, what's all the Rashi meant. In Shulchan Aruch, the two days are not even quoted as a machlekes. The Shulchan Aruch just quotes verbatim the Raivid Shita. The Mechaber doesn't even make mention of the fact that the Rashi may or may not disagree. So the Ramah doesn't say a word, and the Taz doesn't say a word, the Shach doesn't say a word. Nobody says anything. Everybody assumes that Davar Pashat, like this Raivid, that as long as it's not the Torah as Mashke, if it's just a salad that's diluting into the mikvah, so we assume that's not considered to be a problem of Shirim Aras. Even though the Rashba may or may not have questioned it, the hope was under Abba. Anyway, so Haskamas HaPaskim seems to be that it's not considered to be a problem. Lamais the Shachra quotes this Kula of the Raivid, and it seems to be what we assume halacha. So this becomes very helpful when it comes to Klari. That's the Paskim HaMekel, that in the pool, what do they use in the pools? In the pools they use solids or liquids? Or?
They're both.
Both, they're both kinds. Okay. So in the mikvah, so the Paskim recommend to use the solids. Rambam writes that based on this halacha of salas esim, so the Rambam seems to be going along the lines of the Raivid also. So the Rambam writes, what's the din of the following? Rambam describes that a mikvah that changes color by itself. Nishtanu machmas atzma. The question is, what exactly does that mean? So nothing changes literally by itself. So in the stomach of the Pshan, the Rambam is that you didn't add anything to it. Does that make sense in this context? It means the mikvah starts to change colors by itself, but nothing was actually added to it. So the Rambam writes it's a kal v'chomer. If the case where you put it in a salad, you put in salizasim, so that was not included in the takaras hachamim, Hashini Mara, kal v'chomer, when it happens by itself, that's not going to be a problem. So the Shulchan Aruch also quotes that statement of the Rambam, v'lishum chaylik, so we assume that that's also so. The post can point out that this is good for the dirty mikvos. Mm-hmm. You have to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur late in the afternoon, so it's Shini Mara, right? It's black. Mm-hmm. So the post can say that's also okay. It may be amias, but it's still kashim. Even though we assume halach like this school of the Raivid that only something that has a teres mashke is considered to be a problem. It's interesting. The Gemara in the end of Masechta Shabbos, the sugya of schita of all places, compare some of the dinim of schita in Hilchos Shabbos to some of the dinim of Shini Mara. The Gemara has a discussion. Remember we learned about this last year. What's considered to be a mashke for the purposes of the yisur of schita? So basically, the din is that if you have a fruit that's totally abnormal, no one in the right mind would ever squeeze. So the Gemara, we pass in the halacha, that's not considered to be a problem of schita. We assume that whatever is mamish totally out of normal, that's had the government to squeeze in Shabbos. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara quotes a possibility that maybe it's not the case. That maybe even if you squeeze something which is totally abnormal, that's also a problem of schita. The Gemara says, why should that be? Because since you had in mind to squeeze it, so machshavto, in effect was machshavit to turn it into a mashke. That means objectively it's not called a mashke. Objectively nobody drinks watermelon juice, let's say, for argument's sake. But if you went out of your way to squeeze the watermelon, so you created a mashke out of something which is otherwise not considered to be a mashke. And the Gemara then goes and says, where do we find this notion that something which is objectively not a mashke, but the fact that you squeeze it becomes a mashke? So the Gemara quotes it in Hilchos Mikvos. The Gemara says that if you take a fruit which is never squeezed, and you go ahead and squeeze it into a mikvah, and that changes the color of the mikvah, so the Gemara says that passels the mikvah. So why does it passel the mikvah? It must be because it's considered to be a mashke, and machshavto created it to be a teres mashke. That's what the Mefarshim point out. That seems to be a raya for the Raivid. Because here the Gemara is comparing the dinim of schita, which obviously depends on mashke. It's only considered to be an issa schita if it's creating a mashke. And the Gemara makes this comparison to Hilchos Mikvos. So you seem to get the impression from the Gemara itself that the two are linked. The only time Shini Mara is a problem if it's something which has a teres mashke to it. The only problem is that the Gemara doesn't seem to conclude that way. The Maskenas HaGemara, Masechta Shabbos, seems to reject that equation. So that's a question how these posts can fit into the end of that Gemara. But whatever the Pshat that Gemara is, after all said and done, Shulchan Aruch HaMekel, and that's what we assume for the Farim, that's what we assume like the Rambam's Kal V'Chomer, that Mishtana Machmas Atzmo is not considered to be a problem either. So basically in Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim Shini Mara end up being pretty Mekel, until the Mishkanos Yaakov came along. Mishkanos Yaakov was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Somehow he had the ability to turn the whole world upside down. He was the one who was responsible for tossing all the Erevin in Europe. So he came along and wanted to throw into question a lot of mikvahs based on the din of Shini Mara. Right? Mishnas Yaakov describes when they used to heat up the mikvahs, and again, I'm not such an expert in the details of this, he said they would heat up the mikvahs, and there would be so much smoke, and I couldn't understand what he's describing. What?
Yeah, how it happened.
How it would happen, but he said that the water would end up, in effect, being discolored because of all the heating up that was going on in the mikvahs. So that's what the end. So this is the chumra of the Mishnah Yaakov. So all the other place can Lufinia's night is this chetuva comments in this Mishnah Yaakov to chumra gedola to shemama zos meola. So no one ever heard of this. He says the stomach. This is considered to be like machmas atzma or machmas asalded or something. And he says he doesn't think that this is bechlal included in the chumra. This is because Yaakov wanted to pass all the mikvahs in Europe because of this. But my says the minig was lahachol. There is another kula that the Ravid writes when it comes to Shinimara, and that's the fact that it doesn't apply to a Mayan. It doesn't say this explicitly in the Mishnayos, and the Ravid is pointed to this, that when the Mishnah spells out the difference between Mikvah and Mayan, it doesn't mention one way or the other, but the Ravid thinks that the din should be that a Mayan is not Nifsal B'Shinimara. Why should this be so? What's the lundus behind this? So the Ravid says, Mistama the Pshad is based on Meshitasai, based on the lundus of this Gezeira. What was the whole purpose of the Gezeira? That we're afraid people are going to walk into the mikvah and they're going to think somebody filled it up with wine rather than with water, which is of course possible in Torah. So the Ravid, you go to the Ariz, the Mayan, you go to the Atlantic Ocean, you go to a Mayan, so what are you going to fear? Even if it has a different color to it, what are you going to fear? That they're vulnerable and filled it up with wine? Obviously, the Gezeira doesn't apply. So it's Nirala, that the whole din, this whole chumim and d'rabbanan wouldn't apply. And then he says, kula gabi kula. Once he was just mechadish, that the whole psul shinimara doesn't apply to a mayan. Let's say you have a mikvah that's nifsal v'shinimara, so you can save it in effect by doing hashaka to a mayan. That the mayan itself is kosher, so the mayan has the ability through hashaka, the water's kissing, let's say mayim she'uvin or some other psul nukhas mikvah, so hashaka is going to solve the problem. So he says, Ashaka could be makshir, the water that's mechubit to the Mayan. Now it's dino kimei Mayan. And once it's dino kimei Mayan, it's also not considered to be nifsal through Shinimaris. So this is the double cool of the Ravid. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this also, but Lalacha, we also assume that a Mayan is not nifsal the Shinimaris. It loses its mikvah, becomes a Mayan. Whenever we speak about a Mayan, so the classic Mayan that the Mishnayos describe as a Mayan that's still going, what if you have a Mayan shenifsal? So to speak, that's cut off from its source of being a Mayan. So this was a big machlekes rishon. Remember, we spoke about this a while ago. All the kulas that Mayan has above mikvahs, so that Mayan is b'tar b'kol shulmi mikra din, according to most rishonim, and then a Mayan is not a problem with crap because zochel and all these things are okay in a Mayan. Does that apply only to a Mayan that's still part of this flowing stream, or does that only apply? Or does that even apply if it's cut off, if it's in a box, if it's boxed off by itself in the ground? That was a big shiloh. So the post can say they're not sure about this Ravid either. This kula of the Ravid that Shinimara won't apply to a Mayan may also be subject to that machlokes. Therefore, Bizmanazeh, some of the Mayanos that are created, as we mentioned, sometimes a Mayan can be created that it's still flowing. So if it's still flowing, it's a Mayan shalom nifsach, so then it'll be subject to all these kulas. If it's a Mayan shalom, that's going to potentially be a problem. I mentioned before that the psul of Mayim Shuvim and the psul of Shinimara are fundamentally different. They can sometimes overlap with a phenomenal kula. Sometimes Shinimara can help you out in Hilchos Mikvos in the following sense. But if you have a mikvah, let's say it's, for argument's sake, mikvah chaser, 10 saw of water, and if you would add Mayim Sh'uvin into this water right now, that would be a problem. That would root it for you for good. You'd have to empty it out and start over again. Water, before you add it in the Mayim Sh'uvin, first you pour it in something. You put in some wine, which passed the mikvah effect. So you took rainwater, which was gevaldik, and you turned it into a possible, potentially possible because of Shinimara, now you added shuvin to it. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, one psul plus one psul equals two psulim. So here comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, no, quotes from the Rishonim that fakert, that once you add something to the megishamim, which takes away the shemayim from it right now. Now it's considered to be nifsa b'shinimara, so it's on hold. It's not subject. It's not subject to a psul of mayim shuvim. So now you have a gevaldike eitza. You have a mikvah which has less than 40 saw, and you know for argument's sake some mayim shuvim is going to get in there. You have a fear that some mayim shuvim is going to leak in there. So what do you do? Quick, before you run into the problem, go pour wine inside, and now all the Ma'am Shuvin will come in, and then, if and when you're ready to be Machshon Mikvah, you'll fill it up with more Megishamim, enough to dilute the wine, and then, poof, the Mikvah remains cautious. That's okay. That's technically okay. Why would anybody want to do such a machinic thing? So we'll have to see next week, next time, next year, about how some mikvahs rely on this when they clean the mikvah. When you clean a mikvah, one of the big problems is that you're always afraid there may be some water left behind. And any water that's left behind may potentially be mayim she'uvim. And the mayim she'uvim of more than gimelugin in a place that is less than 40 sov rainwater is a disaster in nuchas mikvahs. So a very simple way to get around that problem is to pour some wine. Right. If you pour a little bit of wine on the floor of the mikvah, so that'll possible it up with what is there, and then it won't be shuvin anymore, and then you can then unroll. We'll have to see hopefully next time how this cleanse has been, it was actually used, was really used in many, many, many mikvahs.